Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good news in what's been a variable year for pro cycling. The team formerly known as MTN, Dimension Data and NTT will continue next year with a new name and a changed lineup as Quebeca Assos. I'll be talking to team manager Doug Ryder and to their long-term sponsor. And another reason to celebrate, Ruleur magazine is about to turn 100. We'll take a look at what's in this special edition and also make some early recommendations for a Christmas gift list. This is Ruleur Conversations, brought to you by LACA, bicycle insurance powered by the community.
Hello, I'm Andy McGrath, the editor of Ruleur magazine. I'm very excited because we've just sent off issue 100 of the magazine to the press. It's looking amazing. We've just redesigned it. There's some exceptional features. I can't wait for you to see it. So thank you to all the contributors, not just for that issue, but for the last 99, for their outstanding and original work. Thank you to the Ruleur team for their tireless work behind the scenes. But first and foremost, thank you to you, the reader and the subscriber. We couldn't do it without your support.
And if you subscribe now by going to ruleur.cc, you'll get issue 100 free. More to come on what's inside that special edition, but first, let's celebrate the continued existence of a special pro team in these challenging times. For a while, it looked as though NTT Pro Cycling would not be around for next season, until a last-minute announcement that it would continue under the name Quebeca Assos. It's a relief for a lot of people, not least team manager Doug Ryder.
We've worked really hard to try and find partners to come on board, and I think the second wave of the pandemic that hit Europe, stalled things a little bit. There were lots of really interested, parties that wanted to get involved in our team. I think our team is a special team in terms of its uniqueness and that it races for the purpose and it's purpose-led, but we just started to run out of time, and the UCI deadline's looming. We had options to merge with other teams and partner with other teams. But we like our culture, we like what we race for, we like the purpose, we like the impact that we've made in Africa and across South Africa. And then, of course, through the riders that have gone through this program. So we wanted to try and keep our own identity and our own team moving forward. So, yes, we were very nervous about that coming as every day felt like a week. And then, of course, with Assos and BMC and Mercedes-Benz and these guys that have been sticking by us for the last few years, we're very positive and continued in that direction. And then Assos stepping up made a big difference to us. And I think when we talk about being purpose-led, a purpose-led high-performance team, purpose-led being Quebeca and high-performance being Assos, it ties nicely into that. We're not a charity team. We race for a charity. But we are a high-performance race team that races in the first division of world cycling. So always competing to win at the highest level.
You talk about the purpose of the team and racing for a purpose. For those who don't know, essentially, what is the purpose of the team?
So Quebeca is a not-for-profit organization that is all about putting people on bicycles so that they can be mobile and get to school and be independent and have access to many things. A bicycle gives you access to a bigger circle of life. You can mobilize yourself to go to school, to go to communities, to just be independent. The biggest inhibitor in Africa is mobility and the lack of it. And so, kids on bicycles and people on bicycles, they can do so much more. You can travel so much further. You can carry more things. You can just do incredible things. So that's our purpose. And Quebeca is a Zulu word. It means to move forward, to carry on, to progress. So it's nice that we are moving forward as Team Quebeca. And it is, as I said, a not-for-profit organization. They don't put any money into the team, but we raise to put funding into the community so that kids can get to school and people can be mobile.
Now, obviously, there's still a lot of uncertainty about the program for next year, which races are going to be running and when, in Europe in particular. But do you have a sense yet of what your ambitions for next year are and which races you're going to be lining up for?
Yeah, cycling is an amazing sport because you've got so many things that you can focus on. You know, there's so many different events. It's not the same stadiums with the same ball against different teams. You know, it's pretty much the same sport. You know, cycling consists of multiple things, you know, with the Grand Tours, it's the shorter stage races, the classics, the monuments. We've always wanted to respect all of cycling. So we've always wanted to have a good and strong classics team. And we've always wanted to have a team that can compete in the Grand Tours. We've, over the years, have tried to compete on the general classification in Grand Tours and have come a bit short. And then we focus on stages. You know, we've had the Mark Cavendishes, Ed Valbosen-Hagens, Valgrens, and riders like that that have focused on stage wins in the Grand Tours. And so that has been one of our focus areas. But now I think, you know, with Domenico Pozzovivo going so well this year in the Giro d'Italia after that massive injury that he had a year ago, you know, he would focus on the Giro d'Italia. Then, you know, potentially we'd focus on stage wins, or, you know, we've got, you know, an iron in the fire potentially to come into the team for the Tour de France as a GC rider. But we'd love to take African riders and bring African riders through. You know, our whole dream and the dream of this team was that Africa does and has produced some of the best endurance runners, and why not cyclists? And I think one day we'd like to bring an African rider through our team, through our system, through our continental team, and then into our World Tour team. And then hopefully that in time, you know, an African rider can stand or get close to the podium of a Grand Tour. That would be, that is something that I'm still really passionate about trying to achieve.
And as far as you're concerned, in 2021, you'll be going for the Grand Tours, you'll be going for the Classics, you will be shooting for the top level of races.
Yes, the beautiful thing about cycling today is it's so unpredictable. It doesn't matter how much money you have as a team, you can still compete. The engine sits inside the human being, you know, which is amazing. I mean, look at the young generation today that is competing at such a high level and doing such significant things in cycling. And that's the beautiful thing. I mean, if you look at Theo Gegenhardt that goes and wins the Giro d'Italia, I mean, how amazing was that? You know, he wasn't even supposed to be that kind of guy and then gets the opportunity and does it. It's so beautiful to see, because that gives everybody and every team some hope. The young generation today feel that they don't have to look up to the old guard and be respectful of the races and the distances and the other riders in the peloton. No, it's just gangbusters. Everybody's just going out there racing. And, you know, if you look at Hirschi during the Tour, I mean, just beautiful the way he raced and just took it on every day and every other day and did significant things. So those are the beautiful things that make us really excited about the future and 2021.
Looking at the rider lineup, any sort of big changes for next year? Anything that we should really be looking out for?
We've had huge change. You know, we've had our core group of riders that have left our team, and, you know, particularly Ed Valbosen-Hagen. You know, that's, he's been with us 6 years. So that was sad to see him go. I mean, maybe a new team would be good for him too. I mean, of course, you know, new colors and there's new motivation sometimes and gives the riders a bit of an extra edge, I think. But, you know, we've lost a lot of our African group of riders because, you know, I'm very happy that we gave the riders enough time to find other jobs in case something didn't happen to us, because in the end, we do care about the individuals and their futures. So Ryan Gibbons moving on, Emmanuel Gebrauxabeer, you know, Louis Meinke, Stefan Dobot, Samuel Battistella, Matteo Sobrero, those kind of riders, and Gino Maeder, you know, that's a real good group of, you know, 7-8 riders that, you know, that came through our continental team into our World Tour team and just now are getting used to the World Tour racing. And then they move on to other teams and they'll shine in these other teams because they've gone through that, the hard work that we've worked with them on, you know, and now we lose them. And that's really sad in terms of this process that we went through now, and to lose those guys. And for me, as, you know, and for our coaching staff and for our sports directors, you know, that's, we just had done all the hard yards of those individuals, and now, you know, we're not going to maximize the success or the effort that we've put into building them into better riders.
It does sound even more so this year than normal that pro cycling at the moment is very sort of hand to mouth.
Yes, but I think the world is like that. Hey, I mean, everybody's living literally hand to mouth. I mean, people are you know, if you've got a job today, you're incredibly fortunate. And if you don't have ill people in your family, you're incredibly fortunate. If the business that you're in doesn't have a knock-on effect on other environments or your partners and stakeholders, you are fortunate. So I think, you know, that is just not just cycling, it's all sport and it's life. I mean, it's humanity is really suffering. And I think that's why the beautiful thing about our team stepping up as Team Quebec Assos, you know, where the world is really suffering, our team comes out and makes a bold, really, really bold statement by saying that, you know, we don't have a title partner, but in the end, we're a brand. We're a brand that wants to be loyal and wants to be committed to humanity, wants to fight and conspire to create hope and opportunity to race, to move people forward so that they can be better off. And, you know, just during the Tour de France, you know, Quebec is one of the charity partners of the Tour de France, and putting 1,000, we called it Heroes on Bikes, that Heroes on Bikes campaign, you know, giving 1,000 bicycles to teenagers and communities so that they could deliver food parcels in the pandemic to the elderly that couldn't get to the stations where you collected food because people weren't working. I mean, that's the impact that we make. That's what this team does. That's why it's so beautiful and so relevant in the world today. And I think you know, the amount of feedback that we've got from people around the world around this team and what it does is just gives us huge motivation. And yesterday, Seal, the singer Seal, goes and reposts our launch video on his Instagram post. So, I mean, this team touches people around the world. It is relevant. It's incredibly authentic. We've been with Quebec for 10 years. So this is not something that we've just stuck a sticker on it and window dressed. You know, this is authentic. It's real. We've been consistent with it, and it's beautiful to bring, you know, Quebec front line and center into the mainstream of the name of this team.
Doug Ryder, it's good to still have you and the team with us, so good luck for 2021.
Yeah, well, wonderful, thanks so much.
Quebec Assos is the team's new name, and it's refreshing to have a recognizable cycling brand as a title sponsor. Derek Bouchard-Hall of Assos is on the line. Derek, why has the company taken this decision at the moment?
First of all, you recognize that we've been involved with this team for nearly 2 years as Team NTT. This is a team that we can work very closely with the athletes, and many of whom actually live in our area. We've enjoyed working with a team that is very purpose-driven. It's quite meaningful to us, their affiliation with the Quebec charity. And we just really got to know Doug Ryder and the organization and the people behind it. And so this has been a partner of ours for 2 years. And we've been pulling for the team to find a new sponsor once NTT chose to depart. We've been hoping for them. We've been waiting and you know, really pulling for them. But it appeared they were not going to be able to continue. And we were sort of lamenting the loss of the team. But then, you know, Doug came back to us relatively recently and said, you know, I'm not that far away from being able to keep the team going, but I need some more help. And this is my last and final chance to save this team. Is there anything that you guys at Assos can do? And, you know, I originally thought no, because of the level of commitment that would be required to do it. I didn't really think it would work out, but we gave it a shot. As it turned out, that it was something quite compelling, not just to Assos the business, but also our board and our investors who are, you know, quite a progressive group and a very, you know, very passionate cycling fans. They were interested in personally contributing to the cause. And so through the combination of their efforts and what Assos could do and the support that we could lend Doug, we found ourselves in a position that we might be able to keep this team going. And we just really liked that idea. I mean, you know, one is the other things that became more compelling as we looked into it was that Quebec was going to become front and center as the title. It's always been very much a part of the team, but now it's going to be the Quebec team and the name. We knew that pro cycling needed this team. You know, we knew that there's a lot of riders on the market right now, and losing this team, you know, at a time when the sport is really struggling with COVID was not good. And we were kind of compelled by that. And it's such an international team as well. You know, it's a team that's bringing diversity to our sport at a time that we need it. And so as we were looking at this, it became clearer that we might be able to economically pull this off. And it just became more and more compelling to us to do it. We sort of felt like it was kind of a mission for us to do this. And it was kind of a calling. And, you know, the other final piece to the puzzle is that Assos as a business is performing exceptionally well right now. COVID has been very good for cycling participation, as I think everybody would have seen and have heard about. We made the decision to do it, pulled the trigger, and was able to keep the team going. And now the team is going to be this team, Quebec Assos. And for us, it's exciting, but it's, you know, we see this as really just a continuation of a partner we've been working with for a couple of years.
Assos has a long history in the sport, you know, participating in the sport. Apart from the exposure, are there any other sort of advantages to being involved with pro teams in terms of product development and feedback and so on?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's, you know, I think everybody who's involved in sponsoring a professional team is seeking more than just awareness. They want to work with the athletes, but it's something a bit deeper for us. You know, I think our brand awareness is pretty strong in the sport. We don't necessarily need it so people to know who we are. But for us, it has two much bigger benefits. One is, of course, the product development is something that we genuinely do. We have a real partnership with the organizations that we sponsor. And the success and endurance of that partnership is very much dependent upon how we're able to work with the athletes and their coaches. We have a design group that we call ACDC, the Advanced Creative Design Center. It's basically our product development lab. And they want to be able to work directly with the athletes. They don't want a sponsorship where you just get the clothing order, print the goods, and then send it off. NTT and now Quebec Assos is a team that, you know, the athletes, many of them live around here, we have direct access to them, and they tolerate us doing a lot of things that a lot of athletes wouldn't let us do, like using prototypes in competition and getting stuff sort of, you know, last minute and trying it out. And also the obligation on their part to give us feedback. You know, not everybody's good at it, at doing so, and it takes a little bit of work to do that properly. And so for us, it's very important to kind of have that access. You know, for instance, at the Tour de France this year, we were driving prototypes of extreme heat weather garments and extreme cold weather garments, both of which they were hitting. And we were driving them to the tour, and they were using it and trying it out for a competition day of without ever having used it before. And that was something that we could do because we have a track record with them, and they trust us. And they know that if we were going to give them something, it's going to be good. And that's something that a normal team would not, that is not usual for a partnership between an apparel partner and a team. And so that's a very important piece for us. And we have, you know, and a lot of the things that we have in our product line come from that. We have a range of products that have come out of the testing. Sometimes it's the whole product, like the Liberty jacket, our rain jacket, but often it's certain textiles or use of layering that we then adopt in our other clothing. So that is an important piece. And we can get that in many ways. I mean, the team is not our only way in which we get that, but it's a really important piece of the puzzle. And we have professional testers. We actually have two former World Tour riders full-time on our staff, Daniele Nardello and Luca Paolini, who for a living test out our clothing and help do our clothing design. We have a range of different ambassadors. We have our own employees that do it. But the professional athletes are pretty compelling. I mean, nobody spends as much time on the saddle as they do. Nobody has quite the level of physical demands that are being placed upon them. Plus, they have the coaches and the performance directors around them that also provide the feedback. It's sort of it's an ecosystem of product development and feedback, of which the pro tour guys are an important part. And again, not all teams provide that to us, but this one does. And then the other reason why we do what we get out of it, just culturally, our organization is, you know, just love cycling. We're just filled with cyclists. For us to be affiliated with the very top of the sport is a lot of fun. Culturally for us, it's a lot of fun. It keeps us connected to the sport. And it is sort of part of the reason of why people join Assos. It's an important piece of who we are as an organization to have that affiliation. As you might guess, you know, having the pro athletes around the office stopping in and you know, getting fitted for stuff here is, you know, it's kind of a thrill for all of us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ruler. Congratulations on making it to issue 100. Such a consistently beautiful magazine. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. Thank you for saving me some cake. You've got my address, send it in the post. And thank you for what we're going to be doing together for issue 101.
Orla Shenhui, whose regular column, of course, appears in issue 100. And hopefully we're going to hear some of her special project for issue 101 on this podcast soon. And while we're celebrating, and don't forget to subscribe, just go to ruler.cc. Here's another familiar Ruler contributor.
Many congratulations, Ruler magazine, on publishing your 100th edition. That's a remarkable achievement. I was thinking about it, and I don't know anybody in my family who's turned 100. The oldest person in our family was my great uncle Norris, who died some time ago, having just reached the age of 90. And he wrote me a letter saying, turning 90 is simply a matter of chewing your food 32 times before swallowing. And don't go over 90 because you should stay away from those years. Nobody thinks that that's terribly clever. Well, Ruler have quite brilliantly ignored that advice and are still going at the age of 100. And long may they continue, because the great thing about Ruler, the thing that makes it different, one of the things that makes it different from any other cycling magazine, and this is not an easy thing to achieve, is that everybody knows what is meant when you say, yeah, that's a little bit Ruler.
You're listening to Ruler Conversations, supported by Lacquer, bicycle insurance powered by the community.
Lacquer's collective cover is made especially for cyclists for life on and off your bike. They've transformed traditional insurance to provide customers with a fairer, collective-driven approach to cycle insurance. Say goodbye to fixed upfront premiums. Instead, your monthly contributions are based on the collective's claims that month. Your maximum monthly price is capped, but the savings are all yours. And they have some big news. Lacquer will be running its first ever crowdfunding campaign and offering equity for the pack. Cyclists have helped Lacquer bring a much better model of insurance to the masses. That's why they want to invite you to join the ride. They're pleased to be able to give Ruler listeners the opportunity to own a part of Lacquer. You can invest in the future of Lacquer from as little as £10 and become a huge part of their collective. To register and to find out more about Lacquer's crowdfunding campaign, head to lacquer.co.
Don't forget, your capital is at risk when you're investing. This announcement was approved by Cedars. So the 100th edition of Ruler will be with subscribers mid-December, just in time to check out some of those potential Christmas presents in desire. Well, Miles Baker-Clark from the magazine joins me. In fact, Miles, we don't actually need to wait because you can check out stuff from Desire online at the moment, can't you?
Yeah, so we're doing plenty this time of year, as you can imagine, in the run-up to Christmas. So in the shop, we've got everything all lined up for easy Christmas shopping, so that cyclist in your life needn't receive yet another pair of socks, although we do have some nice socks if you were that way inclined. But I think I've been running around the staff this week and asking them for their top picks, and it's a bit of a tough and weighted question because there's so much on there at the moment. It's great. I mean, we've got all the usual kind of easy gifts like books from Michael Bland Mountains, which is always a good seller. Ned Bolting's about to drop his new road book for 2020, which I think for a few months probably a bit touch and go whether it was going to happen, but they've turned that around super fast, and I've got a copy and it's looking really, really good. So I know there's a lot of readers out there who are going to be gagging to get a copy of that very shortly. It's out next week. I don't know if you know Kinto, Ian. They're a Japanese company originally that produce like really, really stylish homeware.
No, that's a new one to me.
No, and it's probably a new one to a lot of people, but they make really, really nice kind of glassware and tumblers and, you know, flasks for your coffee and that kind of thing. We're pleased to kind of bring them on board as a nice supplement to your other kind of cycling goods, but they also subsequently make really good gifts. So I've certainly put an order in for a couple of bits for my family this Christmas.
Executive editor Ian Cleverly, anything that you've got your eye on for Christmas?
Well, I don't get about much these days, obviously, but, you know, fingers crossed next year, going to keep going back to doing trips and going to races and stuff. And I'm always looking at other people's luggage and suffering sort of luggage envy. This beautiful Maratona gear bag by Silke, I'm definitely in the market for that. Proper tough beautiful designs, separate compartments for shoes and damp clothes. And this is the clever bit, I thought. I don't know how this works, actually, because it says it will fit in dimensions of your, you know, airline carry limit, but then it will expand to like another 20 litres. I don't know. How does that work, Miles? Any idea?
It's got a little zip pocket in it that you pop open, and it gives you a bit of extra storage. And then when you don't need it, you just scrunch it back up and stuff it back in. So it's pretty clever. And I've actually got one myself, and it's seen very little use this year, as you can imagine, but it sure does take some knocks. You get the kind of side eye from the other cyclists on the plane when inevitably they spot you and they're like, oh, you've clearly spent out on your luggage. You're one of those types, but I'm okay with it.
Silka is lovely stuff, isn't it? And it's always a challenge once you start taking helmet, shoes, maybe pedals, whatever, on a trip. It's always a challenge to get that into something that will go on as hand luggage, isn't it?
The helmet is always the thing that I struggle with. It's always, I usually have it just hanging off my rucksack. I mean, it never feels entirely satisfactory. But yeah, the rest of it, I can just about chum in.
You know, a handy tip I've taken to do in the last couple of years is stuffing the helmet full of socks and other things and then shoving it in the bag.
When you say other things, that's a euphemism for pants, basically, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to go there on the podcast.
Now, issue 100 will be out in a couple of weeks. Ian, can you give us a couple of highlights? What are your sort of favourites from that edition?
It's all good. I mean, it's lovely having Tim Colm back. Anybody who's been reading the magazine for a long time will have fond memories of his Peloton portraits. 10 years ago now. I mean, they were just extraordinary at the time, where he was capturing riders as soon as they crossed the finish line, gets them aside with a backdrop and shoots their portraits. And it's wonderful work. And what he's done is revisited the same riders that are still racing. So we've got Mark Cavendish as a boy, you know, and Mark Cavendish as a grown man. And it's just to compare and contrast. Those are great. Lovely to have Philippa York back for a special, you know, a long-time columnist for us. And so Philip has written something for us, which is a nice piece too. Marcel Kittel has written a piece for us on sprinting. And then we've done a big countdown of 100 memorable moments in cycling, just every single memory that sticks in both our minds. And we also put it out to readers and said, what are the things that really stick in your mind? In fact, I think, Miles, do you have something to say about the memorable moments? I mean, we're doing that online, aren't we?
Yeah, it's one of those things that always gets traction on social, because people just always weigh in with their own memorable moments. And I think that's what's so nice about the piece. But yeah, so over the next kind of couple of weeks, we're going to start teasing them out across social media. So make sure you give us a follow over there, because what we're asking people to do, subscribers, non-subscribers, just fans of Rouleur, fans of cycling, pop us a picture, tag us in to a photo using the tag #Rouleur100. And we're actually going to give away a prize for the best photo featuring something Rouleur related every day for the next couple of weeks. So stuff on the Emporium, be that, you know, Rouleur clothing or notebooks, prints, etc. Really nice stuff. And either, you know, whether it's for you or a loved one this Christmas, it's a nice thing to get people involved in what is becoming quite a bit of a community affair, issue 100.
Okay, #Rouleur100. And if you want the magazine, the 100th edition of Rouleur, and you're not a subscriber, go to the website and subscribe now. And that's it from this Rouleur Conversations. There'll be a long reads along next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.